What is going on in the world right now where it feels like evil is really in our faces like this?
How do you really go from serial killers to anything
else? I was going to go right into Illuminati.
Oh, yeah, let's say I mean,
take care
crime.
Of yourself. I said
more crime.
The great segue into the fact that we are living in troubled times.
This thing appeared on everybody's For You page, and we don't know where from.
Where from?
Hello, and welcome to TMS Hot Takes.
Yo, back at it again.
Where we discuss social commentary regarding things on the internet,
and nonsense.
We give social commentary
lots
regarding things on the internet. I think we should cut back on the nonsense, you know.
back to the seriousness.
Yeah, I feel like social commentary is our big bag. Social the girls have commentary. Been saying our takes are interesting. They are enjoying it.
Social commentary with a sprinkle of banter, just a sprinkle.
Oh, of course, it's not a political podcast.
Yeah, no. There are no political affiliations whatsoever when it comes to TMS. The only affiliation we have.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Have is to Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Our King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good. Yeah. On today's episode of a nonsense podcast that has pivoted into so much social commentary, we have what were your points again? Sorry, because yours were very interesting. Child.
Okay, so we got influencers are lying about their lifestyle.
Oh yes.
We've also got the year of exposure, hashtag Illuminati and witchcraft.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going there. Social commentary. Oh, something happened in society. And then there is the 4B movement. Now, I didn't tell Courtney
what the 4B movement was.
But basically, it's a feminist movement that is coming out of Korea that is apparently spreading across the West. And this idea of abstaining from everything related to heterosexual relationships. So like just not engaging as women. The 4Bs are like basically Korean words that are used to describe the different abstaining like areas.
Okay.
So for example, no marriage, no childbirth, no dating, and just no sex with men.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have Tamello.
Yeah.
Because that video went viral everywhere on TikTok and I don't understand where it came from. Are you on TikTok like that?
No.
Though? Yeah. So
I'm not
shocked. Basically, this girl called Tamello, who is, I'm going to say a rapper, was interviewed by...
I know exactly who you're talking about. Oh, and I just didn't clock her name was Tamello.
Her name is Tamello.
Oh, yeah.
And they got into a bit of an altercation.
South Africa,
one of your sisters is really doing bits here in the UK.
Yeah, she won.
Oh, absolutely. She said Thanos of the UK, and I said you reigning champion.
Sorry to
actually.
That woman, Midday. Sorry about that.
Yeah, is her name Midday or Malachi or something? I can't
begins
remember.
With
I don't
M.
know. I think it's Malachi. I don't know.
The fact that I remembered Tamello and not.
And it's her show. Ooh, anyways. And then, what was the other thing I wanted to discuss? Partners painting each other.
Yeah.
And the men just.
It was so bad.
I have no idea what's going on there. And then apparently there's a serial killer loose in London.
In London.
Ooh, yes. No our
alarm.
Home city.
Ring the alarm, Jack the Ripper.
No, but it could be serious. Really.
I know, that's why I said
killing black women to be specific. Sorry, yeah, that's the bit that I thought was very pertinent to this side of the internet. Killing black women and young black people.
Excuse me?
Yes.
What?
Okay, so we'll start there.
Yeah.
Yes. So obviously you've probably seen there's been a rise of like young black people going missing. Like at a crazy rate.
Oh,
and obviously
hell.
We already know things like institutional racism, racial bias within the judicial system mean that a lot of these things kind of go under the radar and stuff like that. But with social media, a lot of, you know, noise is being made around, you know, this person is actually missing. Can we, you know, kind of band together as a community to try and find this person? And a lot of people's bodies are being discussed. Oh, trigger warning, death.
Yeah, big trigger warning.
A lot of people's bodies are being discovered, obviously lifeless, near large bodies of water. And that's the commonality, right? So a young black person, obviously not everybody, but a young black person will go missing.
Yeah.
And then their body will be found near a body of water. And so that obviously being seen as some kind of signature, Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds, being seen
as some kind of signature. The girls are theorizing that there is a serial killer loose in London because the victim profile is very similar, especially regarding like black women or young black people. And then the signature of being found near large bodies of water. So either having drowned.
Yeah.
And obviously the police conclusions or the police investigations have concluded that it's just been no foul play. However, people are like, how have you got this thread of commonalities and you're saying there is no foul play when these people maybe were seen, they were out or whatever, and then they weren't suicidal or anything and suddenly they've drowned and you think that there's no foul play.
No foul play.
Yes. Dang. So the theory is there is a serial killer loose in London.
You know what? I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if there was
Absolutely not.
I think the frustrating thing when it comes to like crime and the justice system in general is that when the victims are often minoritized groups or people that are often
marginalized,
going under the radar, people don't take it seriously until the numbers start trickling or it starts to get some kind of traction on social media. And I even think of like back in like the olden days or like even just a couple years ago where we didn't have the vehicle of social media to draw attention to these things. And as much as I don't want to disrespect our, you know, justice system too tough, even though y'all have been found to be guilty of institutional racism as well as institutional misogyny. I think just all of the phobics and
all of the the
Janice.
Not the Janice.
All of the Janice, the isms, the everything, phobics, all the phobics, all of it. Just everything.
All of it.
They have been found to be guilty of such. And I think it just speaks
discrimination.
To,
sorry, that's the word that's I was looking for.
No, we're actually educated babes. The word choice was
discrimination.
Discrimination. Thank you. God bless you. You went to school. But yeah, I just do think that it's genuinely horrifying, upsetting, and quite tragic that oftentimes it feels like the general public and civic society have to take matters into their own hands for something to be important enough to have investigation from our judiciary system. Like that's insane to me.
Very crazy. And I think you're completely right. I think when it is marginalized groups, when it is people who there is institutional bias against, these things aren't looked at and looked into deeply enough. And it's like, you know, why is, and I get it, people can be fanatics, people can, you know, look at something and be like, oh, it's this, and the justice system is like, you guys are trying to waste our time. Like, we are the people, we are the professionals. So I don't want to belittle anyone who does work in the justice system, because I can imagine extremely stressful. You lot are trying to do a whole bunch. And there are probably sisters here who are police officers, judges, lawyers, whatever, detectives, which you guys know is actually my aspiration.
110%.
Aspirational career. Courtney,
I'm telling you, Courtney is going to turn up as a private investigator at some point.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. Genuinely, as a little side hustle. What do they call it? Private investigator.
You need to have your own like spin-off series.
I need a crime series. I need a crime series, sorry.
Yeah, where you actually just talk about your theories behind.
Sisters, if you're suspicious of your man, now we should call you. I kind of lack certain things though. So firstly, I just want you to, I don't drive. So you're going to have to cover the transportation.
Also, please, discretion.
Secondly, I can't run. So if I get spotted, I can't run away.
She can't. I'm telling you, discretion as well.
Thirdly, I'm a public figure. I could be recognized.
Fam, and also, if you see somebody doing something they're not supposed to do.
I was not shouting. So maybe I should do a shoot like a show like Cheaters.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, where they ambush them with the mic. Excuse me.
You know when they're going
through the bush. This is not your wife.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have something to say to Mike? You'd be fantastic.
With my vlog camera. Yeah. Say hi to the internet.
Hi, guys. So we're currently outside the house of Michael and he is cheating on his girlfriend. What we're going to do right now is to zoom the camera in.
Ken Burns, slow zoom. So unserious.
Yeah, you'd be great at that. That'd be so entertaining.
Thank you, friend. Hilarious. I think so too. MTV, hit me up.
You're listening now. Come on, commission that series.
Come on.
I think that would be so funny.
Yeah, but like I said, I lack vital skills. No, but so I'd have to go to some kind of training.
No, but even that, I think, is what would make it funny.
More interesting. Because
I think sometimes people are like, it would basically kind of be like, what's the show that I'm thinking of? The one with Neve, Catfish. It would be Catfish style where you bring, I'm even happy to be your camera person. You know the person with the shaky camera angles that's holding the camera like this. And then you'll be talking to the person. And you know the ones where you're actively trying to like bring the best in that person. I feel like he'll be like, so can you describe to me why you've decided to cheat today? Like, what was it that, you know, went wrong? And then the person is there, their lower lip is wobbling and I'm there trying to see. Let me get the angle of that. For real. And then you'll be hearing the ad-libs behind
literally
the camera.
I've got to say, with you as well, the way you'll be hearing ad-libs in the back, they will cancel that show so quickly.
You were wrong and filthy.
Oh, funny times. Anyway, back to the serial killer incident.
So,
I think there are probably sisters in the sisterhood who are, you know, working as a part of the crime kind of scene, and I think not as criminals, but like I think
some of them.
And to be fair, you're also involved in this conversation. You know, no discrimination. I think whilst that can be the case, like, okay, extremely stretched resources and stuff like that, there is no denying that, like you said, marginalized communities often go underserved when it comes to matters of injustice. And I just feel like there is obviously a common thread here around the type of victim, but also that signature of being found near bodies of water. I refuse to believe all these people are just unaliving themselves. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, at least let's do a deeper dive into this. And I don't want to see it escalate into something really serious where it's like suddenly, you know, we're in our 40s talking about there was actually a serial killer on the loose killing people.
Insane.
Actual people.
Insane.
So anyway, all of this is not to fearmonger and stuff, but, you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah, please
be safe. Please walk in buddies. Walk in buddies.
Especially
like late at night. And just do the it's sad that we live in a world like this, but it's been like this since Adam and Eve, isn't it?
That was enabled.
So it's sad that we live in a world like this, but it is what it is. Just, you know, do the things that you know to do that sometimes we take for granted, like letting people know where you are. And I know there's like sharing your location, your live location with people if you're walking home alone, or, you know, just doing the things which we're like, oh, we all know this, but we don't do it. You know, walking in well-lit areas. And this is not to victim blame at all. Like, these people had nothing to do with their own deaths, which is very sad. So we just need to be on alert to be like, you know what? What can we do to kind of take care of each other?
Absolutely. And I think also, like, don't... try not to sensationalize the story. I think it's easy.
This is the drawback of the internet.
Honestly, like, it's easy to see this as some kind of like detached story that's happening around you. But I think trying to be sensitive to folks that have lost, you know, loved ones, people that they really care about, like, this, it's heartbreaking to have somebody that you love deeply be lost to something like this. And then having to deal with the turmoil of having to come on the internet and seeing people continue to like theorize it, almost fantasize it. And I know that they're can be a almost fetishization of like serial killers and like listening to the story and getting the juicy bits and all that kind of stuff. So I would say try to be discreet, as well as respect any calls from any of the families to, like, you know, respect any of their silences or respect what privacy they've put out on the, respect their privacy. Don't be out here doxing anyone as well. Be sharing information.
What does that mean?
You know, when you publicize anybody's like personal information on the internet.
Okay.
So a lot of like the afflicted ones or the victims, they will like share a lot of personal information, or like just even things as like simple as like if police members or folks have taken photos of evidence or anything, like really sharing it on the internet. It's like, nah, if there's any call for privacy, then please respect honor those wishes, because we don't need to be desensitized to what is a tragic and painful loss for people.
Absolutely.
So please act with caution, but also discretion and privacy and respect.
There you go, folks. A public service announcement, if you will.
PSA.
Take care of yourselves. So, what was the next? How do you really go from serial killers to anything
else? I was going to go right into Illuminati.
Oh, yeah, let's say, I mean,
take care of yourself. Yesterday I said,
more crime.
The great segue into the fact that we are living in troubled times.
Perilous.
Guy, you know what? I was very much, I have been since gingered by Cat Williams's interview and various other folks. No, Courtney, because we're going to have a bit of a conversation in one of our upcoming TMS episodes where we're going to be exploring the relationship between power, money, platform. But I wanted
the three P's.
The three P's.
Oh, no, money begins with an M. Yeah. Am I dumb?
Listen, you had to, because I had my moment too. When I was looking for discrimination, I said they're Igilis. Please, it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. We went to school, guys, we promise.
PMP.
PMP, there you go. Pushing P, you're thinking about.
Pushing P. Because I was thinking money, I was like, P, okay, P's, cool. Yeah. The three P's, but one of the P's is an M.
Is it M? ABC, how close is M to P in the alphabet? That's it anyway.
L-M-N-O-P.
Yeah. There you go, it's close. It's close.
It's quite close.
But the three P's. We'll have a conversation, a very serious conversation about that upcoming soon. But I actually wanted to talk a bit about this year feeling like the year of exposure. Things are coming out of the woodworks. We've got somebody like Sean Combs, mm-hmm. Puff Daddy, and a lot of the federal investigations into a lot of the things that he's been doing recently. We've got person after person after person coming out and being exposed for what they were doing. I watched a video recently where a kind of well-known creator, relatively well-known, talked about his experience of going to a Hollywood party and basically running away from what felt like an initiation right into, yeah, it was quite a serious one. I'll send you the link after. Yes, I listened to it and I was just like, whoa. This is, first of all, this is believable. Mm-hmm. Second of all, this is scary. Mm. And third of all, like, I think of like Hollywood and oftentimes the depictions of these kind of things on social media and you think, wow, this is so sensationalized, but it comes from somewhere.
Yes.
So I actually wanted to like hear from you, from the sisters, like the Illuminati, witchcraft. Yeah. I think one of the best ways that Satan detracts from his work is making us believe that it doesn't exist.
Absolutely.
When oftentimes it's right in our face.
Absolutely.
What is going on in the world right now where it feels like evil is really in our faces like this? Like, what is going on with all of these really high-flying people coming forward and actually having a whole bunch of skeletons in their closets?
Yeah, yeah. Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how every 4 years there seems to be a cycle of something.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just another, it's another installment, really. I feel like, firstly, evil has been raiding the earth for a long time. It's not new.
different
it's
forms.
Not new, different forms. And I think, like you said, it's the platform, the power, the money. Like, kings have been doing crazy things. Do you know what I mean? But now you have things like social media, celebrity culture. More people are getting intertwined with these high and dark places. And it's not to say the higher you go, the darker things get. But I think the more access you have to certain materials, certain resources, certain spaces, the more you can abuse that, right? Yeah, the more you can abuse your power, the more you can abuse people because you have more money. And those things can kind of entice people into being controlled or at least willingly giving themselves over to be complicit to evil practices. So I feel like what we're seeing, though, is just the exposure of something that has been heightened by new media, a new celebrity generation.
Yeah.
But the Illuminati completely believe in them.
Oh, 100%.
That one's not even contentious. I feel like it's more so them doing the bad things that people don't want to acknowledge. And it's like, why? Why don't we want to acknowledge that there are people in high places doing very bad things, to sustain their success, right? And I do think that there is that element of success. Even we see it, like, you know, in the Bible, or just when you look at certain spiritual practices, that there are spiritual ties. The whole world is spiritual.
Yeah.
The whole world is spiritual, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, as you said. The whole world is spiritual. It doesn't make you're participating in it, whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
Do you get what I mean? Whether you're aware or not. So because the whole world is spiritual, there are certain principles that people observe that just work. The law of sacrifice. Now the question is, what are you sacrificing?
And to whom?
Thank you very much. You know? So I think there's that. It's like, okay, God requires a sacrifice, but all the other gods also require a sacrifice. Yeah. And I think what we're seeing is spiritual practices, which are happening in the dark, just coming into light. You know, the sexual perversion is a form of worship. Sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, physical sacrifices, like it all, as much as it's like, oh, that's so like creepy and dark arts and stuff. These are things that are happening.
These are things that are actually happening.
Like, these are things with power. It's not the ultimate power, but they have power.
Yeah.
And if we do not acknowledge that life is spiritual warfare and there are so many things battling against each other, forces of light and forces of darkness, like deep darkness, we're going to start thinking, we're going to keep thinking these things are just conspiracies, or, you know, these things are just like crimes. No, these are moments of like deep worship of demonic things, right? And so we can't normalize it. Like we have to continually flag that, like, this is a problem, this is wrong, this is not normal, right? And I think people think that these, they would never fall into these things, but these things all start with idolatry. They all start with desiring, you know, certain things over your own purity and goodness of heart and a clean conscience and a good soul. Like, if you want money more than you want a good reputation, you're going to do things like this. You're going to serve money, and that's going to drive you to sacrifice to that God that you worship. Sacrifice people, sacrifice innocence, and sacrifice your own reputation and future. You know? That's what my thing. I think put them all in jail, but like at the same time, let's also, I love what Cat Williams did, you know, I need more, really, but then all this, I get why people don't do that, because it puts you in a very dangerous situation. Exposing evil is risky business.
It is
very risky business, but you have to decide what side you're going to be on. Are you fighting for light or are you fighting for darkness?
This is the thing. And I think it's really understanding that there is no middle ground. There is no abstaining literally from this moral conflict. You are part of the conflict.
Yeah, because
you like it,
that's the thing. If you choose to not pick a side, you're just backing into the shadows.
Yeah.
And the shadow is darkness. You've decided what side you want to be on.
You are complicit.
You get what I mean? Silenced. Like, those in the light, it's clear to see where they stand.
Yeah.
Those who you don't know where they stand, it's often because they're in the shadows. So you're in the dark too, honey.
You got your skeletons in the back there.
You're in the dark too.
To be honest, some of them are not skeletons. Some of them are people.
Literally.
Real life bodies roaming,
and it's so sad.
It's really unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate. No, I completely agree with pretty much everything that you said. I think what really strikes me about these conversations is just how well integrated systems of evil are into our culture. Facts. Like our very culture. Like the story, the guy, I'll send you the link after, but, and I might actually link it down below for people to watch it. But what really did strike me was just how many people, first of all, were implicated, well-known people, and how well established evil has become to the extent that your actual livelihood can feel at threat. And I think it's very difficult for a lot of people that want to be the purveyors of justice, but they know that their lives are at stake. But I think it's also understanding that your life is at stake irrespective of whether you speak out or not, or irrespective of whether you choose to engage in these practices or not. You still are going to be fighting a battle. Yeah. And it's just about choosing which side you are going to be on very, very willingly. And also making sure that you have a very strong moral compass when you enter into these spaces, because that popular saying, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. Yeah. And there's a lot of people, even that we know in our midst, that started off with good intentions and you see their downfall.
Yes,
when you are so obsessed with getting to very specific spheres of influence, when you are obsessed with getting to the top of your game, when you are obsessed with this idea of like even being a change maker sometimes, it is being very careful that in pursuing that, it doesn't become an idol to you. And then somewhere down that yellow brick road, all of a sudden the bricks are turning black.
Yeah, literally.
Or red.
Literally.
And hot. 100%. To hell. And continually having to check your heart. I think what you were saying about social media as well is bang on. There is something about evil interacting with platform that really, really like does something to people. Absolutely. It's that desire. And I think specifically idolatry around like oneself and raising oneself to particular heights of fame and happiness and money. It's always about the self, self, self.
Yeah.
I think if you are so wrapped up in yourself and you continue to be that way in the pursuit of the things that you believe will bring change, child, you will end up with a hot seat in hell.
Absolutely.
Before you know it.
Absolutely. And it's, you see it in the Bible, right? Like Jesus goes into the wilderness, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. 40th day, you're getting tempted by the devil. And one of the ways he tempts him is raising him to this really high height. Right. Look down at this kingdom. I can give it all to you, you know? And I think that's, like you said, there is something about platform elevation and desiring that power, that dominion that makes people compromise. Mm. And it always begins with a compromise. Do you get what I mean? It always begins with a desire to shortcut your process,
yep,
so that you can have what it is you so desire above your own moral integrity. Mm. And I think there's that scripture that talks about how, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole right. world but lose his soul? And I think a lot of us need to be contending for our soul a bit more, that and allowing ourselves to be guarded about what our soul does, what our mind, our will and emotion partakes in. Mm. Because a lot of things will appeal to those, right? Our desires for wealth, our desire to even make change. I love that you talked about that, like our desire to make change, but how?
Mm.
How are you making right. the change? Because the method really does matter. It the does. Method is what determines where you're going to end up, honey. It really does. So it's not just about being results driven, but actually caring about the integrity of your method.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think we also need to pay attention to our compromises.
Yep.
And our compromises also include what we choose to be silent on and yep. what we choose yep. to yep. ignore and yep. just let go by the wayside. And obviously we're talking about people who are in Hollywood. I didn't see Diddy do what he did. Do you get what I mean? However, there were people who did and said nothing.
Mm.
So it's like when we are also, you know, viewers of evil, what do we do about it? Mm-hmm, what do mm-hmm. we say about it? And I think we were having this conversation about this yesterday about mm. something else, but it's like that deep conviction to be like, no, justice has to prevail right. over something. And yeah. as much as it may be uncomfortable for you as an individual, how are you going to be a partaker in justice? We're also talking about that on Sunday's episode, right? It's like, We can condemn all of these things. We can outrightly say, oh no, we don't agree. We would never do it. Yep, okay, but yep. when you saw it happening, what did you do?
Mm.
Questions.
Questions. Questions.
Questions.
Anyways, we are purveyors of justice on this podcast. So those that have been, you know, committing terrible acts, I do pray that you are brought to justice, but I also do pray for your rehabilitation ASAP, because I think there's also that element that can be missing sometimes in the conversation. It's, we need justice, but there isn't a lot of like resourcing or investment into the true repentance and rehabilitation of people that have done wrong. And I think sometimes for a lot of people that are steeped in evil or feel like they're too far gone, they continue to go because it feels like there's no way back and there's no point.
Absolutely.
It makes me think of that line in Macbeth way back when, where he was like, to return is as tedious as to go, so mm-hmm. I will continue to go. Mm-hmm. And that man ended up, sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't read Macbeth, that man ended up dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Most people do. And yeah, it's similar to what I was saying in Sunday's episode. It's like, if we are very clear about the fact that change is required and then we all partake in making sure that change happens, that's when we start to see bigger change in society. But we're not invested in that enough, you know? We're not invested in calling that out enough as well.
Yep.
Like actually telling people what you are doing is wrong.
It's bad.
And sticking by that. Like, it's not just a thing I'm going to go off and gossip about. It's not just a thing I'm going to use as an example in the future. Actively, if I can see you running into fire, to not correct you is me allowing you to burn, you know? So let me stop you in your tracks. And as much as that may be an uncomfortable conversation to have to tell somebody what you're doing is nonsense, like this is really bad, what would you rather see? Them destroy themselves and other people, or you just have an uncomfortable moment having to tell them you're running towards destruction?
Child. On the vein of calling people out, actually, I think that's quite a nice segue into talking about Big T in the cut.
The Thanos of the UK, Mr. Mello. Mr. Mello.
Big T in the cut.
So if you haven't seen, on TikTok, I was talking about this with my friend yesterday, that like, this thing appeared on everybody's For You page and we don't know where from.
Where from?
I didn't have a clue what was happening. Just suddenly went on TikTok. I get hit with a video of this girl walking us through her outfit. And she's like, you know, this is from PLT. This is from, you know, PLT. I also think this is from Shein. And then the interviewer was like, yeah, it makes sense. And I said, well, that's a bit of shade.
Shady.
And the girl who was running us through her outfit is called Tamello.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming she was being interviewed by this other lady, gorgeous lady actually, and she was just like, one thing you're not gonna do is throw shade at me or belittle me.
Yeah.
And Miss Tamello, aka Thanos of the United Kingdom, threw it right back at her. And I don't even think the interviewer was ready.
Nope.
For the way this woman dragged her to hell and back. But I think this is a great example of a couple of things.
100%.
Great example of a couple of things. One, don't let anybody belittle you because of your age. Don't let anybody belittle you because they do not approve of your choices.
Exactly.
Either. Like, the way this lady was trying to throw shade at her was like, if you believe, and I think I saw Coco Sorrell say this on her TikTok, which I completely agreed with. If you believed this woman was so beneath you, why did you invite her on your show?
Why did you interview her?
And I why think did you interview
it's the power.
Her?
It's for the power play.
And it's crazy because even Tamela was like, you brought me here.
Yeah.
This is an interview about me. Like, why did you bring me here, basically? And I think she let her know, if you brought me here to spotlight me, I'm going to be spotlighted. 100%. And I'm not going to allow you to bring me here to basically belittle me. So I will show you exactly what I'm made of. And as much as I didn't agree with her methods, I didn't agree with the interviewer. 100%. So it was just like, if you put out rubbish, you're going to get rubbish back.
Play stupid games, you're going to win something stupid.
Stupid prizes. And also, not only you underestimated your opponent, you underestimated her big time.
I think it was this presupposition that, especially on the interviewer side, this presupposition that she was right, but also that people would support her and agree with her. I think the level of arrogance that sometimes people can have when they come online in thinking that people are just going to side with them because, you know, they are morally grandstanding or this was just an opportunity to virtue signal, right? I'm better than you. I'm older than you, which was pointed out to her, unfortunately.
Oh, this girl said, you're like 48.
She said, how old are you again? And I really did think that that could have been a really interesting, not even teachable moment, because I think there was that in her head, right? This idea that, okay, you're younger than me, so I'm going to flex on you, or I'm going to teach you a thing or two, because obviously there's been no one to correct you.
Or I'm bringing you out here to just draw you
First
out, basically.
First of all, sis, you ain't no Tamela from anywhere. And I think it's that, right? This arrogance to think that it's your duty to correct this person that you have no personal ties to, don't know from anywhere. And this could have been a real good opportunity to just have a conversation with her and really get to know her behind the scenes, understand a bit more about her psychology, like speak to her on a level and as a human being and not just somebody that is beneath you.
And this brings me to this conversation I was having with my friend yesterday. We need better interviewers 100%. In the United Kingdom because all of these, like, come on my podcast, come on back, they don't lend to good interview skills. And I think in general, it's what our generation is kind of lacking.
100%.
Shout out to all the journalists though, who are like really doing journalistic work. But you often see it in the political sphere. Whereas with like pop culture, you're not really seeing it as much where you're having those Oprah style interviews that bring out a person's story and don't necessarily have the desire to kind of just spotlight the interviewer as a personality, but more so the interviewer is just a vehicle to paint a story for this person. And I think what this showed was poor interviewing skills. Like, you didn't bring this woman on to interview her. You brought her on, like you said, to almost degrade her because you disagree with what she does. And I think because they don't maintain this position of neutrality as an interviewer, all we see is a fight versus an actual interview. And like, and she badly. And it's like, I still don't know who Tamela is,
right?
I don't, but to be fair, I haven't watched the full interview, so maybe it started well and it descended into
even the start
tyranny.
Child, the first thing she said, oh, so what do you do? It's like, oh, you know, I go to school at, you know, I'm a uni student or whatever, I go to sixth form etc. And she was like, also,
she's very young,
very young. And she was like, oh, so like, you don't do anything else, like basically insinuating that she doesn't do anything with her life. And I'm like, babe, that's not the way to start an interview.
And that's the thing, when you meet your match, it's like somebody can already discern this energy is all the way off. The way you're approaching me is already, I'm not even going to warrant actual responses to this. All I'm going to do is be combative. And then you meet someone with a big mouth who can actually give it to you and is confident enough to give it to you, who doesn't care about age. Thanos, for real. So basically,
do better.
Sorry. But I really do think if you can't back it, don't start it.
Don't start it. And don't be doing this underhand shadiness. I hate that so much.
You know what? Like, it's very much giving mean girl energy and it's not nice. It's really not nice. And I think we see that a lot with like other women trying to humble women, or trying to, really pull out their maybe shortcomings or their less great, glorious moments. Because I don't completely agree with like Tomello's, I don't know if you'd call it a lifestyle or what she, her, or her music. Her, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I didn't know of her before. I'm not a fan. But I definitely don't think that warrants you bringing somebody who is a human being out to be disgraced.
Absolutely.
And I think there is that power play of embarrassing somebody, right? And belittling someone, which is like, that's not necessary. If you, I really believe in that statement. If you thought this was beneath you, why did you do
why
it?
Why did you take the interview?
Why?
You sought to humble a woman.
Because it's all respectability, right? If this, was something, if this is someone else, you wouldn't have done that.
This is the thing though. I think people are so invested in this idea of respectability politics and they profit off of it, right? Look at the content on the internet. So much of it is around humbling women. It's around disrespect. Yes. It's around belittling people. So I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed.
Disappointed.
But I'm not surprised that even sometimes as women, we see women that are, you know, prescribing to internalized misogyny, that are prescribing to this idea that I will get the clout, the clicks, I will be on the side of the high moral ground by degrading a woman who I think is
beneath me
and abject to society.
But and it backfired
in a big way, because one thing about the sisters is they don't take that talk to sisters lightly. And if you are going to fight, you either fight with your whole chest or you leave your chest at home. Like, that's it. There's no in between. And I think it's that, right? That liminal space between, oh, this is an interview, but it's also thinly veiled, like...
It's shade.
Shade.
100%. And I think there is a way to make clear your standpoint. They're like, oh, I don't really agree with this or whatever. But as an interviewer, that's not really your place.
It's not your job.
It's not really your place.
If this was
all
a debate or a conversation,
then maybe. But that's not what it is. So,
yeah, it was a very interesting. Also, you're actually old. This baby's young. And the way that you were talking to her, it was given age mate.
Absolutely.
Not age mate at all.
At all.
You could be her mom.
Exactly.
My mom would never speak to me like that.
Well, actually, she's still quite young.
She was like in her, what, 40s?
No, 30s. Oh, 30s. Yeah.
Okay. She could have had her young.
She's in her 30s. But yeah, I think... It was just sad to see it descend into that kind of situation. And for the interviewer, like, just approach things differently.
Yeah, please.
Just approach things differently. Because this is how you also lose your credibility.
Yeah.
When you cannot control the room which you are actually the leader of.
Absolutely.
And the curator of.
And also, who was the producer?
To be honest with you, the people behind the cameras just want to get the views. And they did exactly that.
Terrible.
They did exactly that.
Threw them both under the bus.
Exactly. No. Tomello wasn't thrown under the bus. She said, "You can't throw under the bus the one who can push the bus off themselves." Super strength, honey.
It's giving Thanos indeed. Exactly. She got that power stone, child.
Yeah. So, shout out to nobody in this situation.
Yeah, nobody.
But you know who needs to be shout out? TikTok, because this video went to everybody everywhere. At the same damn 100%. Time.
Even me, I was like, why is this here?
Literally, even Americans were like, I'm so in bed. Who is Tomello from Bristol? You know, and the fact that Bristol, she's not even from London.
Her TikTok
made it
me.
So she much funnier.
I'm the one that put Bristol on the map. You know what, babes?
You really are.
You know what, babes?
Take it. Take it. An actual
Bristolian ambassador.
Absolutely.
You did it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I was not checking for Bristol before that. Sorry, before that. Sisters.
And her accent is kind of nice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
a black girl with... Shout out to TT.
Bristol is in Wales.
TT, if you want to do an interview, come on the TMS podcast.
Is Bristol in Wales?
No.
Where's Bristol?
In the UK. Oh, London. UK. Guys, we've been going through
a lot. Oh, my days.
It's in the UK. But no.
Are you hearing the question I think said to you?
Yeah, you said, is it? Yeah, you
said, your question is it in Wales?
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And you said it's in the United Kingdom.
I hear it. We were both as bad as each other.
No!
Is Bristol in Wales?
Yeah, because I don't know where Bristol is.
It's definitely in England.
Yeah, but then you said it's in the UK, but I said it's it, Wales okay, is the in the UK. Wait,
the reason I said the UK is because, God forgive me, I see obviously I see the map of the UK, but I often forget about that little part over here that we call Wales. Sorry, the Welsh sisters are going to eat me alive in here.
It's okay. But it's in England.
Yeah.
There we go. Read your dilemma.
Yeah, let me read the dilemma. Ciao, we ain't even gotten to you. Anyways. Oh, dear. Hi, beautiful sisters.
Hey, sweets.
I would like to keep my name anonymous, so I'll go by as Beauty from South Africa.
Love that for you.
I'm 28 years old, never kissed a boy, never had a boyfriend, struggle with friendships as I grew up with strict parents who did not allow me to interact with kids growing up. This resulted in me having social anxiety whenever I leave the house and have to interact with people in public. Currently, I have no friends, no social life. Yeah. However, I'm currently working a decent job that pays my bills and healthcare. How do I go about to change this as I constantly battle with these demons? Please advise if you can. Love, Beauty.
Ma'am, go to therapy. It sounds like thank you, first of all, for sending your dilemma.
Yeah.
It sounds like because of your childhood and the way your parents guarded you from the world, there are some social skills which need to be learned, but also you have to first undo the social anxiety, right? And really address that and heal that as well, like the fear you may have about being in certain social situations and meeting people and putting yourself out there, because these are very valid fears. If you grew up not having friends, not being in social situations, I can understand how as an adult that's very scary. There are people who grew up social as ever who still have social anxiety because adulthood is a lot more daunting. Like making friendships in adulthood is a lot more daunting. So I can only then imagine for someone who didn't even participate in social situations when they were younger and a bit more free. So all I can actually say is therapy. I would definitely say work through this with a therapist and someone who can see you through the journey of maybe introducing yourself very slowly to social situations, then reviewing how you felt about that, what the certain anxieties are stemming from, and how you feel about yourself, how you feel about the people that you meet. It is so much more than one dilemma segment could actually answer. I think you need somebody to help you walk through it. And I think the best person to equip this is a licensed therapist who deals with certain things like anxiety. Because it's very real. It is very, very real. Now, as for the whole, I'm 28, I haven't kissed a boy. You're young. Listen to all the dilemmas we got on this pod.
Yeah, girl.
It ate all the rave.
It ate. Okay. Some people are even abstaining completely.
There we go. The four Bs. It's okay. The age thing isn't necessarily the issue. So don't rush it. Don't rush into, or don't also think that this is a reflection of you, your value, your self-worth. You've had a very interesting childhood. You had a very interesting upbringing. Yeah. And so it's very understandable as to how you couldn't have met a guy to even then kiss them. So that's okay. You can have your first kiss at 30. No one needs to know. Honestly, who's gonna beat you? Do you get what I mean? And what's the issue with that? Like, there is actually no issues. Don't drop the societal pressure and expectations. Most people don't have this thing figured out anyway. I would definitely say invest in some therapy if you can. It sounds like you're working a steady job, so I definitely say this is a worthwhile investment. Get some therapy. How about you?
I'm glad you said therapy first, you know, because I think sometimes the temptation is, jump right into community, go to new things, etc. And it's like, no,
it's scary. If you have social anxiety, that could kill you.
Nobody's going there.
Literally, what? Give you
just
a heart
even
attack.
Someone even looking at you like, no, panic attack. I can't do this.
Yeah.
So I think it is, first of all, giving yourself some grace. It's actually okay. Trust me, nobody is going to beat you because you haven't had similar experiences to everybody else. They are not... what people say that they are, they're not all cut out to be that way. So take your time with yourself. Don't feel as though that you are behind, because you are not. Everything at your own pace. This life that you live is yours and yours alone.
Facts.
So I definitely agree. Since you are you know, in a steady job that is high, relatively high paying, invest in yourself first and invest in you feeling more comfortable. Checking if there's any clinical diagnosis that you might be going through as well is really important. And I think your therapist can be your first port of call in terms of getting a referral, in terms of understanding if there is a diagnosis there, and just getting more support and help before mapping out, okay, how am I going to re-enter or enter into a society that you didn't have the opportunity to do in the first place. And it does sound like you do have quite a lot of unresolved or unhealed childhood trauma. I know that having strict parents can really have an impact on you in later life in terms
of isolation. Is traumatic,
exactly, in terms of how you form connections and relationships with other people. So don't put too much pressure on yourself to form new relationships before you have healed the ones, or at least dealt with some of that unresolved trauma and tension first, and really pinpoint, okay, how has this affected me? It may be that social anxiety is one of the ways that is manifesting, but from kind of what you've been describing in your dilemma, there may be a whole bunch of other kind of manifestations beyond the, oh, I feel like I'm behind because I haven't made friends, or like I haven't had a romantic relationship. There's something there about social anxiety, but there's also something there around kind of long-term relationships, but even like relational connections, because to have been in society for quite a bit and not feeling like you've made those steady relationships, I'd like doubt that there's been people that may not have been good prospects. But it is also about understanding what was it that meant that they remained prospects and they didn't actually become a part of your life. So going on that journey of unpacking, okay, how has this happened to me? Why has this happened to me? And what is preventing me from, you know, beyond social anxiety and just the fear, what is preventing me from turning these prospects into lifelong relationships, or at least getting to that relationship part? But taking the stress and the pressure off of yourself of feeling like you should have established yourself in these areas at this particular age. I'm telling you, this is your own journey. Take it at your own pace, every day as it comes. And lean into the things that also bring you joy. The fact that you've been able to sustain a job as well. Oh my gosh, girl, congratulations. That's huge. That is so, so huge. Especially in this economy and in this time. Don't beat yourself up, because it does probably require you to interact with other people. The fact that you probably have a few professional connections, well done. That's big, because this is the kind of thing that could easily result in depression if untreated. It can really result in you continuing to isolate yourself to the point of not being able to even relate to people, point blank, period. So celebrate your small wins, or even going to the grocery shop and, you know, buying things and speaking to people if you can, or, you know, the small things of like, just interacting with people on a daily basis. Those are big, big wins in terms of overcoming social anxiety. So I would even focus on that, like celebrating those wins, leaning into the things that bring you joy, going to see a therapist, and then unpacking before getting into the pressure that can come as a result of trying to intentionally build your community. Facts. So back pedal a little bit to go forward even further. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Hopefully that was helpful and you get the help that you need. Integrate yourself into this slowly, really slowly, and assess how you feel as well after each interaction, because you're relearning a lot. So all the best, sis.
All the best.
I hope you find everything that you're looking for and you deserve and more, because you sound like a good person.
You sound fabulous.
So I hope you are a good person. Be friendly.
But I think that might be a very good, very quick segue into talking about the 4Bs.
The 4Bs.
Or the 4B movement. And for those of you listening, it is not a movement that is about natural hair texture. It is a movement that is arising from Korea. That has apparently started to sweep the West of abstaining completely from the pedagogy, the institution of heterosexual relationships. So obviously, Korea has a completely different cultural and historic context to the West. And this movement has, from what I've seen so far, arisen from quite real institutional failings and problems that women in Korea have been facing as a result of patriarchy that's been enforced in a way that's quite, you know, exploitative. So they started a movement where they're now abstaining from interacting with men. It's like, men, you guys suck. I don't want to give birth to a child for you. I don't want to marry you. I don't even want to be in dating with you, and I don't want to have sex with you. This whole idea of reclaiming your power as a human being, as a woman, etc. But now apparently this movement is gaining wind and gusto in the United States. It hasn't been touched upon too tough in the UK from what I've seen, but you know, the winds of change be coming. And it feels like a revitalization of the gender wars.
Yeah.
In that this sense of disdain towards men, but also this sense of trying to reclaim power in structures or in society, in cultural context where women feel like they've been disempowered. What are your thoughts on the four Bs?
I think this is actually nothing new. It may be in Korea, but in terms of like sociologically, it's another form of radical feminism, which has worked in some instances and has not in others. I think I don't necessarily have a view as to whether this is right or wrong, because I think this is simply an act of resistance, which hopefully will bring about some kind of change which they desire to see. I would like to see like what is also being done to engage in the policy side of things to make sure that this is not necessarily a forever thing. Just because things like this, if adhered to by enough people, affect other things, population, which then affects everything else. Do you get what I mean? And so God forbid it escalates in this way, but then like even more serious acts of aggression, especially from men. So certain things like maybe sexual assault or taking things more so forcibly than consensually, which is definitely something nobody wants to see. And so I would like to see on a higher level as well, what is being done to bring about the change you guys want, so that this isn't necessarily a something that goes on for far too long and people feel as though they have to engage in all the time. Because I think as a short term, whatever that looks like, act of resistance, basically it is war. Like it is a form of warfare. And I think if people can stick to it, hopefully it does bring about change, but that requires every other institution being engaged in that change, right? So the women alone cannot bring about that change. You actually need the criminal justice system, which keeps coming up on this podcast, like the criminal justice system needs to engage, the government needs to engage, like laws and certain things need to be changed, as well as cultural views towards things like patriarchy, gender-based violence and stuff like that. So the whole of society, not just these women who are resisting, the whole of society needs to pay attention to making sure that certain changes happen so that this doesn't go on for far too long, essentially, because then it will affect absolutely everything. It will have a ripple effect, which is good. I think when we look at certain acts of resistance or boycotting or whatever in the past, you see that when people take notice of its effect on wider society, they are moved to change. And so I think if people can stick to it, that would be really good. I think there is also safety in numbers with acts of resistance like this. Like a lot of women will need to engage in it in order for it to work. But you need to be very clear on what your commitments are and as well as why. Like, why are you committed to this cause? I do find that Western countries, especially when it comes to feminist movements, sometimes co-opt these things 100%. Without a real solidarity in the cause itself, right? So actually raising awareness around, but the Korean women have started this for a reason. Have we done enough to also use our global power to shine more light on what needs to happen in their country, why they are resisting? And I think that could be, I don't know enough about what's happening to give like a fully informed comment, but that could also be a drawback of this thing, like moving to the West. We actually need to recognize our global privilege, right? When you have an opinion and you're an American or you're a British, you actually have a lot of global say, unfortunately, whatever that means. And so I think taking that opportunity to be like, hey, we've noticed what these people are doing, and instead of just co-opting the method, let's actually spotlight the problem that's happening over there as well, and really put our solidarity behind it so they can get that wider change that they desire to see on a political level, rather than just taking their methods and allowing them to do this guerrilla warfare by themselves, you know. So that's what I think about that, but I don't think it's new. And I think if done well, it could bring around some really great change. But we definitely need that solidarity and that banding together, because stuff like this can also go horribly wrong for people. And it is a massive sacrifice to make if they take it seriously. And I hope this is so much more than just, and I'm sure it is, a social media trend and actually people living up to it, because let's be real, when the girls are like, oh, you know, F men, boycott this, boycott that, no longer made engaging in the did you call it the pedagogy? Yeah, I like that,
thank you.
It's always let down by people who in behind the scenes are not adhering to it. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, don't be giving that man cooch on the side.
Not a little bit of
side.
Do you
get what I mean? Like doing midnight D appointments.
A
you
little
know?
Bit of side.
In the darkness, like make sure you come over to my house and no one sees you, because that lets the side down.
With a cap. And
do you get
like
what I mean? Like you have to have a military mindset. You have to have a military mindset behind this, because solidarity in numbers.
Yeah.
There is power in numbers, and that solidarity.
Yeah.
That's actually what will bring about change, if not everybody, but enough people are doing it, you know. That's what makes boycotts work.
That's the thing. I completely agree with that. I think you basically nailed every point that I had in my mind, especially this idea of like the West sometimes co-opting movements but then also pushing them forward with individualistic agendas, right? And I think there is something about talking about the material conditions for women when it comes to those parameters, right? How are we engaging in relationships? How are we being protected in childbirth? How are we being protected in marriage? The things that we are often seen as the gatekeepers of, we are still finding ourselves in very unsafe positions when we do engage in them. So I think especially when it comes to a place like Korea, how can this movement be used as a tool and opportunity for us to shine light on, obviously, the global issues that are facing women, but specifically in Korea, the issues that they faced are quite different and quite complex.
On an institutional level.
Exactly. So having the opportunity to shine a light on that, I think, is wonderful. But I do think that there is something about the West, even in resistance movements, taking from other countries or other movements and stuff, and then losing the main message or losing
for those people.
Exactly. Or losing the collective consciousness that makes these things so powerful. And as much as I get it, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, you know, my dating prospects have been poor, so I'm just going to abstain, or just using it for the wrong reasons or reasons that were not like part and parcel of the movement in the first place, right? Like, there's been a couple of videos that are like, I'm just tired of men and I'm going to be part of the 4B movement. And it's like, I get that. But the movement is not just about being tired of men. It's about enforcing safety for women across the world. It's much more than just our exasperation with the dating world or our exasperation with the prospects that are coming our way within the space, or just the stories that we've been hearing on social media about women and men and whatever, but actually shining a light on the lived experiences of women that have been harmed by partaking in a lot of these heterosexual relationships,
with hopes that it will bring change.
Exactly. And I think it also does something in pathologizing heterosexual relationships as well, right? Especially if there isn't care or nuance taken. All of a sudden it's men as a conglomerate are evil, are bad. And trust me, look, I'm the first in line when it comes to holding men accountable for their egregious actions. First in line, I'll tell you that. But at the same time, recognizing that sometimes it is actually not useful or beneficial to simply pathologize without having a clear timeline in place, without having clear high level and policy oriented change as well, beyond wanting to punish and reclaim power. It reminds me of the quote by bell hooks, where you can't dismantle the master's house with the master's tools. And I think that with something like this, and in a lot of popular resistance movements, if we are not careful, we can go so far. In fact, it's even relevant to what we were talking about earlier in terms of, you know, Illuminati, witchcraft and stuff like that. Not that the two are in any way linked, but this whole idea of starting off with good intentions and then finding yourself so deep in that there's no, like, you, it almost feels like you can't turn back
from the cause.
Exactly.
So
I thought it was a really interesting movement, and I thought it was really relevant because obviously, we're a global sisterhood, and we try our best to talk about things that are relevant to women. But at the same time, we recognize that we have privileges and disadvantages. Yeah. We have vantage points, and there are also things that we have, you know, blind spots in. And it's that, right? Understanding where we can side by side stand with women, but also where we can step back when it's not as relevant, or at least find a form of resistance that works for us in our context.
Yeah, 100%. And not losing sight not losing sight of that bigger cause.
Yeah.
Because that's often what happens with stuff like this, especially when it goes viral, especially when social media gets involved. We can treat it as more of a personal issue, not an institutional issue.
Absolutely.
And so really spotlighting that this is an institutional issue. This is a policy issue. This is something where those with power need to take notice of, because that's how change is kind of completed. It can be started by the mass movement, by the people, by those, you know, on the kind of bottom of that hierarchy, but it needs to bubble up to the top for those few change makers with actual power to enforce that change. Because I think we have power in the numbers, but then you need people who have power of change, like rewriting the policy, making sure that certain, you know, things are doing in the area and being done in the areas of reproductive health. The government, law,
exactly.
Like how are certain things being enforced and dealt with? Education, like all institutions now need to partake in this kind of change. So if we keep pressing on that issue, hopefully we do see something long term.
Yeah.
But if it just becomes, you know, a whole bunch of people just making videos, I'm not dating anymore. Okay.
So why are you telling us on your 10th video, Charlie?
But let's make sure you're also writing a letter to your MP.
Screaming.
Or you're going on a march. Or something that catches, you know, attention. Yeah.
To the cause and not just you.
Exactly. Acts of resistance. But shout out to the women in Korea.
Yeah.
I can imagine this is not an easy thing to do. But if you desire to see change that much, positive change, then stick by it. But, you know, realize what the sacrifice actually is.
For sure.
And stand by it. I mean, women of principle.
Hello.
I guess.
Hold on.
Yeah. Fight that good fight, and if you can participate in that fight too, do. You don't necessarily have to do all the full B's. I won't be, but I won't be. But you, if there's a petition I can sign, if there's someone I can write to, I'll do that.
You let me know.
You know, involvement in resistance can look different for everybody. Let's be serious. No, because then we sometimes think like solidarity is strict conformity.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not man. Always.
Nah, man.
Not always. Yeah. Just wanted to make that clear.
The woe of being a heterosexual woman, man. Girl, we like these
There
men.
Are people who are suffering more.
Yeah, no, the woe. But it's that, right? It's the whole, you know, oh, woe is me.
Woe is me.
Heterosexual man.
Yeah. And I do like what you said about like not pathologizing and also not like generalizing, but really treating this as the bigger issue that it is as well. So no one's saying go out there and attack your brother. Yep. You know, all men are just like this, and suddenly you're fueling all of your energy.
Are you going to fight
your
brother?
Actual sibling? But more so engaging in the conversations and why are they actually resisting in this way, and
that
having that
so
conversation
funny.
With people. No, because you know when like I will even use myself as an example. Certain things just get you angry, and next thing you know, somebody is on the receiving end of like, men are like this, but they're not like that.
Yeah.
However, you can have a conversation around the wider issues and highlight to people why we need change, and this is why they are resisting.
Yeah.
You know, these are the actual problems, and not just women have had enough. Like, of what though?
Yeah.
And that's what we need to spotlight, so that everyone can participate. Because it's not just women who need to stand in solidarity; it's men
it's
as well.
Men.
And actually, it's more so we need the men to get on side,
literally,
to understand what's going on. So yeah, let's not let our rage distract. Well, to be fair, like rage can draw attention to you, but less actually draw attention to you. You know. That's what I mean.
Draw attention to...
Yeah, there are bigger issues at play here.
There really are.
Yeah, and we need to get to work on that. On a global level, like every country needs to assess gender equity issues.
110%.
Do you know what I mean?
Let's close that 132-year gap.
Gap. A bit it's crazy.
Bring it closer.
We need to...
We've got stuff.
And that's why acts of resistance like this can actually be really good, because they can accelerate things if there is solidarity.
If there is solidarity. Right on, sisters.
Whose national anthem has that word in it? Is it Nigeria? No, I don't think so.
What's the
solidarity? Oh. I don't remember. I don't know. Someone will know.
Somebody.
Anyways.
Somebody out there.
All right. Cool. No retreat, no surrender, as they say. All the best with you guys.
Do we have time for our last two?
Oh, what was it?
Influencers are lying about their lifestyles.
Oh yeah, what's that?
I saw one hilarious video.
Is it on YouTube? Yeah. I think it's been coming up on my feed as well.
Is it the babe that was talking about how influencers will do like lifestyle stuff? And
I haven't watched it. I've just seen a thumbnail.
I'll send you the video to go and watch it. But basically, you know how people do like day in the life with me, or like walk through my life as a whatever, whatever. Sis did a systematic review of like a whole bunch of lifestyle influencers and found out not only are they lying, but they're lying grievously. Okay. So people will be like, oh, you know, went out for coffee with my friend. The date on the receipt is from like last week. It's like, I have this like meal prep that I get every single day. And then like, again, it's like, you actually didn't go to the store that day at all. Right. In fact, you were at home. Or like, I went to go and get this coffee and then I went to the gym and then I came back and I was like, no, these were actually on separate days too. Or like, you know, buy this thing because it really helped me. And it's like, actually your usage of it suggests it's that you actually or like, I'm going for like a evening walk, and there was just a really hilarious bit where she was like, I'm going for an evening walk, so as you can see from the position of the sun
this is in the day,
this is the crack of dawn. And I just found it so funny because it's hilarious how we can often think of influencers and put them on a pedestal, right? And we take a lot of their, what they give us as almost gospel truth, right? Their job is to influence us. Yeah. But we never really think often about how some of them could actually be lying. Absolutely. Like genuine, not even like, oh, I didn't know. Yeah. But they are constructing stories that are actually factually incorrect.
Yeah, fictitious.
Your day is not, this is actually not your day fictitious. At all. Fictitious. Hilarious.
But I think that's because like, we want to hold on to this idea so bad that, especially the most popular influencers, right? Are like, actually showing us reality. It's the same disappointment we get with reality TV when you realize this is not reality. And content creation is storytelling. And the higher up you go and the more people feed into like, no, I follow you because this depiction of your lifestyle really inspires me, as aspirational, as entertaining, whatever it is they come there for, you give them that constructed, curated form of that, right? Like, no one wants to see what you actually did with your day because that's not inspirational or aspirational. But when you put all these things together, you know, the perfect ideal day, the perfect ideal morning routine, that is what is entertaining and aspirational. Pleasing. Yeah, and that's what people, no one wants to see your factual morning routine if it's not that kind of 5 a.m., 6 a.m., this is what I do, you know, do you get what I mean? Because that's what makes people want to click. It's sad that you're lying. That's not good for anybody to do. If that, and I think there's power and there is something that's still attractive about realness and being able to frame that in a funny comedic way or in a way that's just real, honest and authentic. And authenticity will never go out of style. And so I think embracing that would be very helpful. But this is almost just a product of the industry. When you show that this is what people are responding positively to, people are just going to recreate that. And it means sometimes constructing things that are fiction.
Lie.
You know?
Story.
But shout out to that girl. That's a very interesting piece of content. That's a very interesting piece of content. And I think influencers should just, I want to start seeing the word ideal more.
Yeah.
Because I think people like forget, these are all just ideals. This is my ideal, what I eat in a day. This is my ideal. And this is the reality. There's a content series for someone.
There you go. That is a content series. If you see that on either of our pages,
ideal first, versus reality. Oh. Like, my ideal morning routine is it dictates that I wake up at 6:30. I went to bed at 2 a.m. yesterday. I woke up at 8:30. Well, I woke up at 7:30 and then went back to sleep, actually.
Work in progress.
But that's what I mean, you know? So there's the ideal. I can do my a day in, you know, Courtney's morning routine. Do you think I'm going to show you that?
Screaming. Screaming. Waking up at 7:30.
I'm trying to brand myself in a specific way, you know? However, with myself, it's like, me as an individual, I'm just transparent. I will tell you, it didn't happen.
It never happened. No.
But for some people, if that's what your brand is built on, the discipline, the high performance, the productivity, you don't want to show the reality that it's would terrible. Be... unless you want to engage in the wider conversation. So I think we also need to think, what are we fueling as consumers?
Yeah, exactly.
That that's people, true. Influencers think this is all we will accept from them. Perfection. Yeah.
Branding and then outright lying. Nah, that video I was watching, it killed me, Courtney. I was like,
I really need to watch
some
it.
Some of y'all, I really need to watch it. Light it through your teeth. But I hear it, branding.
You know what, branding?
Branding. But sometimes branding, especially when it's lifestyle oriented stuff. Sometimes people take it a bit far.
Absolutely.
I get it. Get your coins how you need to, but.
But the thing is, it's like, it takes a certain level of creativity, which more people need to employ to be authentic, but still very entertaining.
This is true.
And I think that's what people don't really understand, because you can do this kind of cookie cutter thing that people are ideally going to click on, you know, my ideal morning routine, the perfect 6 a.m. morning routine, whatever, because it's more searchable, it's more clickable, all of that higher engagement. But you know, there's a level of authenticity and creativity you need to have to be like, you know what, I did wake up very late today.
And what?
Do you get what I mean? But then the question is, do people want to watch that stuff?
This is the challenge. This is the challenge. Because some of y'all even do this on the podcast. You'll be talking about, exactly. I want to see this on your podcast episodes. When we talk about it, you don't know where to be found.
So that's the thing. It's a two-way street, because people are doing this because the feedback is, this is what we want. So it's like, no, let me find a way to give it to you.
And then
so
all then of people you guys are all a fake.
And it's like, but if I showed you, if Kim Kardashian actually showed us her reality, we'd say you're boring.
Listen, from time that she said, you guys, we all have the same 24 hours, child. I know she's doing something boring up in those 24. I know it.
It would be boring.
I know I don't want to live that life, man.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, stop lying.
Yeah.
Because there's
literally bad receipts,
consequences.
But also there's receipts of you lying on the internet.
Exactly.
Now. You've lied.
Exactly.
And people are making content telling out of your lies.
Telling actual fibs. It's sad. It's sad. Don't do that. Just be real.
You're such an artsy. Don't do that.
It's
bad.
Don't do it. Like, you're damaging your brand's integrity at the
be
end
truthful
of the day.
And authentic.
You've done all this work to build up this really cute brand, and then you're going to destroy it because you're a liar. Yeah. Brand integrity is a real
thing. It's really important. They need to trust you. Influencing is built on the premise of trust. Yeah, breaking it bit by bit.
Please.
One fake iced coffee at a time.
At a time. It's not necessary.
Stop.
It's all right. Be honest. Be yourself. Be real.
Every day. The amount of times people said that to us growing up.
Be yourself.
Be yourself. Be authentic. Be your most authentic self.
But look how far it's gotten us.
That's true.
There you go.
That's the one thing that makes me very happy.
Yeah. Be authentic. Yeah. Be yourself. Be creative. But there's value in your authenticity, man.
Aww,
I can't wait to watch this video, though.
Wow. I got a couple of videos to send to you.
We'll put them in the descriptions, ladies. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this episode.
We ain't got nothing right now.
I'm actually
now.
Very tired. Yeah. Like I said, I went to bed at 2 a.m. Oh, I'm shattered.
Girl, yeah, it's time to wrap this up. Yeah. You guys might be picking up a little rumble tub with the background. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
So we got to close out.
Bye. Follow us on socials.
Hustle hard.
Honestly.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.